This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to the Robots Radio host holiday special episode, where we get together a lot of the different hosts across the Robots Radio network in order to talk about some of our favorite things from the last year and recommend if you've got, like, I don't know, Christmas gift cards or you're on vacation, if there's something cool you should check out. I am your host, Tom or Robots. I run the network. I also host the Fallout Lorecast, the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, and the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. So you might be familiar with some of my shows. And we have a wonderful group of different hosts from different shows this week. I'm just going to name off some names and they'll introduce more about themselves as we go. We've got Jeremy and Brendan and Sergio and Preston and Sam, and I'm just going to call him Crown, and Andrew and Maverick and Wasteland Ronin. We've different people with different names. Some people use handles, some people don't. But welcome back, everybody. This is so fun every year to get together and see all of your faces, and people are listening to our voices as I'm looking at your faces. But yeah, this is a super fun time because we get to talk about all of our favorite things and share a little bit of our personalities for people to get to know us and find out what else is going on in the network. So the topic, as usual, every year, is something that was a big favorite of yours from the last year. It can be a vacation, a place you went to, a book you read, a movie you saw, a game you played, something you gave a chance to that you thought wouldn't be so great, but was a big surprise. I don't know, a sandwich you ate. I don't know. But kicking us off this week is Sergio from the D&D Lorecast. Sergio, how is it going, man? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yeah, my name is Sergio. I am the host of the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. You can find us every weekend talking about D&D lore. I'm also on the Rocket Club as a co-host of the 616 Files, where we are deep diving into the Marvel history, like actual, like the Marvel universe, like in universe, with acclaimed writer, novelist, Sean Hamill. But yeah, I love getting together with the other folks from Robots Radio. It's like a little like family reunion every time we do one of these.
Yeah, you know what? It makes me think about when I used to work for corporate like business companies, and they always have their holiday thing, and then everybody's like, crap, I gotta go back to work on Saturday for our holiday party, you know. But this is actually fun because we don't have to go to work. We can just hang out and talk about our favorite stuff. And
exactly.
Yeah, man. So how was your year? What did you get into this year?
Year has been pretty good, you know, just every week in, week out, yapping about lore, doing Tales from the Tower actual plays, which is kind of ties into what my favorite thing of the year was, which isn't brand new to me specifically, but it's something that I just started up again this year, which is running an actual Dungeons and Dragons campaign.
Oh, nice.
Like,
yeah,
I've run them, you know, over the course of my life, but I hadn't run one since like 2018, like before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going into 2025, I was like, I want to run a campaign. I want to run a like ongoing campaign. I styled it after as a West Marches style campaign, which, if you're unfamiliar, it's a style of D&D campaign where people can drop in and out. Like every session is sort of self-contained, mm-hmm. but there's a larger overarching storyline. So folks can come in, play a session like, oh, hey, I can't make it next week. Like, that's fine. Like, we don't have to cancel. I'll run the session for whoever does show up.
Nice. Yeah, it keeps it going because that's always the hardest part, is corralling all the cats, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so so I started doing that at the beginning of the year, and it's been a lot of fun. And I also started running a Curse of Strahd campaign for some of my patrons on the D&D Lorecast. I just finished up our eighth session, I think, mm-hmm. right before I got on with y'all. And it's exactly what you expect from a D&D campaign. Bunch of murder hobos, bunch of shenanigans, bunch of puns. And that's been a lot of fun. And to top it all off, not only am I doing those, but somebody sent me an ad that our library, or a Facebook post that our library, local library, had posted, and they were looking for DMs.
Wow.
And so I reached out to the Arlington Public Library, and I'm like, hey, like, I kind of know what I'm talking about when it comes to D&D, like not to
Right.
like toot my own horn, but beep beep. Like I would be interested in running a campaign. And so yeah, I've run a few sessions with them. Didn't run one this weekend. It was my wedding anniversary, so
Oh, congrats.
props to myself for
Yeah.
being married, finding someone to deal with me and put up
Staying
with me.
married, that's usually the harder
Right.
part.
Right. But no, that's been a lot of fun. You know, just like getting together, and like one of them is online, two of them are in person, and like just like being able to play with these characters. Because before I was, just running one shots, and you just kind of do whatever you want with these characters. Like it's whatever. Like, you're never going to play them again. It's fine. But having to deal with consequences and what you do and what you don't do further on in further sessions is always a lot of fun. So I'm just like reinvigorating my love for ongoing campaigns this past year.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Do you find that getting back into it after so much time? And I have a feeling a lot of people went through the pandemic and probably had to stop getting together with their groups
Right.
and have probably been in that recovery phase over the last few years of like, okay, what does normal look like again? But also,
Yeah.
what is it? I haven't done this in a while. What is it like to get back into a campaign? You know, do you find that it just fits like a glove and you're just right back into it? Or do you find that like, yeah, it just feels a little different now?
I mean, I feel like it's pretty much the same. I've been supremely blessed with the West Marches campaign that I'm running. I run it at a local pub, and they were actively searching for someone to run games on their game night. And so I started running games for them middle of last year, but they were just one shots, sort of to, get people used to like, hey, there are games going to be being played here on Tuesdays. So, definitely get used to that. And so once the campaign started, I figured like this probably will fall apart eventually. But recently I had a session with like eight people showed up.
Wow, that's a big session. Yeah.
That's a yeah it's it was we fought a bunch of Duergar in the Underdark. It was fun.
Nice, nice. So if somebody wanted to get into this, and this is one of the things I want to focus on for the holiday special, is
Right.
bringing our audiences into this world of the things that we enjoy. If somebody was out there and they're going, you know what? I've always wanted to try D&D, but I've never done it, or I've played D&D, but I've never been a DM. What would you like, real quick, what would be your like first thing you would recommend they do in order to get into that?
If you want to just go out there and play D&D like in the real world, check out your local library, check out your local friendly gaming stores and see like what's available. See if you can see if there are games already being run, and if there aren't, see if you could possibly run one. And if you want to DM, just check out any number of YouTube videos, folks like Jenny D who can give you tips on how to run games, how to be a good DM. But honestly, if you are worried, like I don't like if you look at Matt Mercer or like Brendan Lee Mulligan as like the archetype of DMs, you're only going to set yourself up for failure because these folks are they get paid. This is their job to do this. Like likely you're only doing this for fun. Like no one's going to expect you to have every rule memorized. No one's going to expect you to know every single like niche and nuance of the rule set. So just learn as you go, learn as much as you can, and just try to make it fun for the players.
Yeah, it's like we're gonna cover All I Want for Christmas, and now I expect myself to sing like Mariah Carey.
Right,
And for like
exactly.
99.9% of the population, that's never gonna
That's
happen.
not going to happen. But if you can hold to, if you can sing all, just if you know the words and make it entertaining,
Even if you're an
folks will
okay
enjoy it.
singer,
Yeah.
yeah, it's still enjoyable. Just don't expect to become Mariah Carey, right?
Right,
Like you just,
exactly.
yeah, same kind of thing. Yeah, that's some great advice. And let's open this up. Anybody else have any questions for Sergio about DMing a Dungeons and Dragons campaign for the first time in a while?
I've got a question. And
And
hey,
this is Sam. This is Sam from
this is
the
Sam,
Mass Effect Lorecast. Hey, Sam.
aka In7 Legend. Sergio, you were talking about how people can find out how to be a good DM, but I have a few friends who have been DMs, and perhaps a more valuable skill set is being a good player for the DM. What is the most chaotic thing one of your players has done recently in the campaign you're running?
Ooh.
So chaotic. This is someone who had never played Dungeons and Dragons before. Showed up to a pub session. I run the campaign 2 to 3 weeks out of the month, and then I always have 1 month for like a one shot, for like a one off. Like I'll run like Dungeon Crawl Classics, or I'll run like Mothership, just something to sort of
A palate
cleanse the.
cleanser.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so this guy showed up the week before we're playing DCC and never played. Asked him, have you played D&D before? He's like, no. I was like, okay, well, this is like D&D adjacent, you know, so it'll be fine. You'll catch on. And so shows up the next week where I'm actually running the campaign. So again, had never played D&D before. Only played one session of a tabletop role-playing game. And so we're fighting in the Underdark. They're fighting Duergar. The final Duergar turns invisible. And so they can't see him. It's his turn. And I said, what do you want to do? And he's like, I have this spell called Thaumaturgy. It says that I can create harmless tremors in the ground. Can I cast that spell and cause like the dust of the stalactites to fall down and possibly expose the Duergar? And I was like, you abso-freaking-lutely clan.
Smart. Let's go. That's a smart one.
And I'm like, I think I found the oracle. I found the one.
Yeah. This is what you always want as a DM, is for your players to get creative with their abilities and not just do the typical thing. Yeah, that's great.
And that is, and sort of like to backdoor that, like as a DM, you want to reward that. You want to, instead of saying, you know what, that's not really possible, you want to help them like, well, you could possibly do this, or you could, like, you know, mm-hmm. I like where your head's at. Let's, like, you can possibly, you know, fidget it a different way and do that. But I hardly ever like telling my players no, you know, if I can figure out a way, like, logically in the rule set to make it work or to do something like that.
Or that guy was like allergic to dust, and even though you didn't help you see him, he sneezed and now you know where he is. You know, like, you can play off of that and be like, well, it actually did work in some way. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a lot of fun. All right. Well, we've got a lot of people to get to. Sergio, thank you for kicking this off for us.
Yeah, of course.
And if anybody has any questions about D&D, about the lore, about DMing, check out the D&D Lorecast. Check out Sergio. I'm sure he can get you started and give you some places to go.
We're not hard to find.
Yeah. And also, all of these hosts are on the Discord, on the Robots Radio Discord. They all have channels on the Discord. A lot of them have their own Discords for just their show. But if you want to get a hold of anybody or find out, or you mention somebody shows up on the show and you're like, crap, what were they a part of? Just join us on the Discord. You'll find everybody. We'll tell you exactly where to look. But who would like to go next? I see Void, another D&D show guy. Jeremy, Void, how's it going?
Hello. How are we?
I hear you're a little bit sick for the holidays, but you made it. Yeah. So congratulations.
So, hi, I am Jeremy Geiser. I am the DM for Dungeons & Dipshits, a live play D&D podcast, the Faded Light campaign. And I have made a world and my four players made their characters, and I set them loose and they are on the track to dismantle a government.
Mm-hmm. And they just keep on shaking off the dust from the ceilings in order to find where that hidden government is.
They have been trying.
Okay. Cool.
They try to bend the rules. But it is very blatant that you can't do what they want to do with the certain things.
Sometimes you got to reward the creativity, but sometimes you got to rein it in. So, so let's talk about this year. What's on your list of top things people should try out or give a shot?
Well, first things first, the launch of my show in April. That was the biggest thing that I had this year.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that.
Yes,
it's always a big thing to get a new project off the ground and started, especially when you've got a bunch of other people on your podcast and get them all together and get the audio sounding right, figure it all out. Yeah, absolutely a big thing. But so let's talk about you personally, though. Like, what for you was something that you would recommend other people check out?
If you have the means to do it and you have online friends, get together with them.
In like a physical real space? Is that what you're saying? So like,
get together and
go touch some grass in a group.
Yes.
Go to the park.
We, the five of us, so it was me, Sam, who plays Konica, a chicken-like Kenku, clockwork sorcerer, my brother, Jackson Geiser, who is a human with supernatural abilities. We had Logan Williams all the way from Montana.
To you don't have to give away your specific location, but how far away is that from you?
That is 1,800 miles.
Okay, so all across the country.
We had to flew him here, and we had Riley Bell, all my players and me. We all got together and we had a blast at Gen Con, which honestly, that right there gives away my location. So
okay, well, yeah, but you know, general area is not
a big
so
enough
bad.
City.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Sure, sure. Okay, so Gen Con, like, so what you're saying is not only is Gen Con awesome, it was a great time, but having people that you've known online actually get together in a real space and do something together was totally worth it.
Oh, absolutely. We all had a house to ourselves. We basically got an Airbnb together, and we were going from the Airbnb to the convention every day, and it was some of the best days that I have had in a long time, just because I got to spend it with my friends.
Yeah.
And we just had no limitations, really, on what we could do other than money. So
sure, yeah. Right. You know, other real limitations, but yes, but getting together with real people in a real space. I have a feeling there's a lot of people who listen to our shows who probably, I don't know, might hear somebody like you say this and go, you know what, I need to make that a priority in 2026.
Yeah, I highly recommend you just get together with your online friends in an actual real space.
Yeah,
it is so much fun.
Yeah. Was there anything that was a major surprise about that? Other than having so much fun, maybe you had more fun than you expected.
So when I was at the airport at like 2 a.m. I had been there since like 12:30 because Logan said he was going to get off his plane at 1.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't get in until about 2. He almost knocked me over giving me a hug. Keep in mind, I am 5'9". He is 6'2".
Okay.
And he bulldozed me pretty much.
Nice. Well, that is a surprise. Anybody else have any questions for Jeremy about real world spaces and hanging out with people?
I was just going to say that I actually had something similar. I had a buddy of mine that he started as a listener of the show, but we became friends. He's like, hey, I want to fly down and hang out with you. Is there a convention soon? And I was like, actually, yeah, the North Texas RPG Con is like in 2 weeks. And I flew down, we hung out, played games, threw some math rocks. It was a blast.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I think we're going to see more and more of this as time moves on. You know, the internet has changed the world. There's a lot of other things that are changing the world. And I think we have, you know, as people have grown up with the internet being the norm. And I mean, I've got kids. Some of you guys have kids. But like kids going through school today and or living through the pandemic changes the way that we interact, and we're still seeing the effects of that. And I think that there's a lot of mental health stuff about like, no man, actually get out in the world, see real people, spend some time with some real people, you'll benefit from that. So I think that's actually a very wise thing to recommend, but also totally makes sense, Jeremy. So
yes, as yeah. Somebody who sits in my basement all day, yes, I highly recommend go get some vitamin D and touch grass.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's a great recommendation. Yeah, check out Dungeons and Dipshits if you want a fun, irreverent time. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, the intro to it is Dungeons and Dipshits is a Sailor Mouth, whatever, like very adult content.
Right. So just be, I mean, you can probably tell by the name, but be aware. But yeah, Jeremy, thanks for joining us. Let's move.
Thank you.
We got to keep this going. Who else has something? Ben, I saw Ben's hand. We'll go Ben, and then we'll go Preston after that. Ben, it's been a while, man. How you been?
It's been good. I do way too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just remind people real quick of your entire list of shows that you do.
Yeah, so I am Brandon, or also known as Ben of Temeria. I host the Holocron History, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Gundam Lorecast, the Wizarding World Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast.
Yes, right.
I have too much time.
or not enough. Depending on how you look at it, yeah. Yeah. So, okay, so looking back on the year, like from a personal standpoint, what is there something that surprised you, something that you're like, oh, everybody needs to know about this?
So, I mean, it's nothing new for me. I've been doing it for a few years, but Ren Fairs. Mm-hmm. If you have a Ren Fair and you're in your area, go to a Renaissance Fair.
Yeah, you get dressed up. Like, you go out as freaking Geralt of Rivia and, like, dressed to the nines.
Yeah, I have, like, almost too many outfits now, depending on the theme of the weekend. So, there's that now. But, yeah, it's great. You meet so many wonderful people who are either, you know, Rennies that just go, or complete nerds, mm-hmm. just like, I do a Star Wars show. I see a bunch of Star Wars nerds.
Yeah, right.
It's fantastic. Right, yeah. Or D&D, because it's the Renaissance. There's a lot of D&D nerds. It's great.
And that is not a slight in any ways, because we are all super nerds about something, right? Like, all of us. So, yeah, but that's where you find... Man, this is the theme. Sergio set this up, and he's like, go to a real place and play Dungeons & Dragons. And then Jeremy's like, yeah, get together with your friends. And you're like, yeah, go to the Ren Fair with your friends. Man, is everybody going to talk about doing things in person? Maybe this is the shift.
Go outside.
Yeah, go outside. Maybe this is the shift to 2026, is like, hey, let's be real people in real meat space and, like, you know, actually shake hands and look each other in the eye. That's amazing. So do you have any specific stories from Ren Fairs this year that really set the others apart? The last time I went to a Ren Fair was a long time ago, and there's, like, you know, there's stage shows, and there's the food, and there's the dressing up, and then there's, like, they're going to play human chess, and, you know, all the different things. Is there anything in particular?
It's essentially what it is. That's what my year was, essentially. I did do one of the weekends. The group I'm part with, one of my friends is a seamstress, so she made the group of three girls that I hang out with are dressed up in Rococo, which is, like, I think it's, like, 17th century fashion. I don't know. It's fashion.
Mm-hmm. Something.
Above my head. But they were dressed in the Powerpuff Girl colors.
Okay.
And I was the professor.
Oh,
even
wow.
Even though, like, I'm 5'3", so that doesn't really bode well when they're taller than me.
Right.
But but I got free food out of it, so it's all good.
That's great. That's fun. Real creative idea. Anybody else have any questions for Ben? Any Ren Fair questions or thoughts,
Ben,
or comments?
This is Sam again in Seven Legend. Ben, I am a huge Renaissance Fair enjoyer. And I have been to a few different ones in different states I've lived in across the country. Do you have a favorite location that is almost always just, you know, an excellent Ren Fair?
So I've gone to two. I'm going to my third out-of-state one going into next year. But been to the Kentucky Ren Fair, and then I'm an Ohioan, so I go to the Ohio Renaissance literally
I grew up in Ohio, and
I know
what you're talking about. So yes, that one actually still remains my favorite, even though I've been to Ren Fairs in four different states now. So
wow,
okay,
yeah,
we just got news a month ago that Jack the Whipper is finally coming to our fair, which is super exciting because I've been wanting to see him for like 5 years, and he doesn't come to Ohio.
Cool. We got a question.
You're going to have to add context to that. Who is Jack the Whipper?
So he is a...
You can't just name drop him and try to walk away.
He's a Rennie that goes and he makes songs and does parodies, and, like, he's a comedian, but he uses whips for songs.
It's thus the Whipper. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thus the Whipper.
Like Devo?
Basically, yes. He's like Renaissance Devo.
Okay, I'm down. That's all you had to say.
It's like Whip It Good with mandolins. Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'm 100% down.
Yep. Wasteland Ronan, did you have a question? I saw your little hand.
Yeah, this is Wasteland Ronan from the Metal Gear Lorecast. And as a fellow Ohioan, I understand going to cons because there's nothing else to do out here.
Yeah, all but corn.
All the corn. Well, cool, man. Bren, you got it. Ben, I said Bren. I combined Ben of Temeria and Brandon into one word, Bren. Anything else to wrap this up on your side?
I mean, not really. I mean, just go outside, have fun. Play games still, but, you know, mm-hmm. there's more than to do outside as, you know, pandemic's over, and, you know, hang out with people. It's great.
Nice. Well, thanks, man. Preston, how's it going?
I am doing swell, Mr. Tom. How about you?
Shucky dang darn. I'm all right, too. Remind people about you and what you do, and then we'll talk about your favorite thing this year.
I am Preston Harden, also known as DJ Atomic Wolf in some circles. I am the creator and showrunner of True Vault Escapades, a Fallout audio drama, which is quite literally what it says. It's a Fallout audio drama, but it's a show designed like a 1940s radio show, but it's in Fallout New Vegas, and it turns 10 next year.
Wow, so 10
I'm,
years.
I'm pretty excited for that, setting up some cast interviews and stuff like that. But yeah, other than that, I also have Bioshock, the Midnight series, kind of a slightly underrated drama I've put together, which, you know, if you like Bioshock,
it would help if they released another Bioshock game one of these years, and then people would like
I'm waiting
start searching again for Bioshock stuff. Yeah, hopefully someday. But hey, what was your year like, and what did you enjoy that you would recommend other people check out?
The year was amazing. It was full of writing and planning and promotion and stuff like that. But the highlight was definitely, speaking of real space interactions, Good Springs 2025. I have never been to the Fallout Fan Celebration before, and I've been asked to come there and for years now. And I'm not the most social person. I can mask it pretty well, but the fact that I had to drive all the way over to Nevada and make this happen, I was like, no, I gotta do it this time.
How long of a trip was that? That's like
20 hours about. Oof, I'm from Texas, so
yeah. Oh man, you're driving through like the west side of Texas too. Oh yeah,
getting out of Texas is the worst part.
Oh man, yeah, that takes forever. Holy.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to get over my fear of flying. That could have just cut it in half. But that aside, I absolutely love that I did it. It was the best. I met folks like Maverick. I met a lot of fans in real life. I got to do a panel with our fellow network host, Lawrence McNamara from the Modus Files. Right. I never did a panel before. So for this to be my first con, anything like that, any sort of real space nerd interaction thing, this was amazing. I absolutely loved it. And I highly recommend people go, even if you're not a Fallout fan. It's just a really good vibe over there.
Yeah. I didn't make it out this year. And it's one of those things that always pops up on my list. And I'm like, I don't know if I can make it work. But I did see all the pictures. And it did look like it was a blast.
That was great. It was absolutely great.
Yeah. Let's open it up. Anybody have questions for Preston?
Guys, I'm sorry just to jump in here.
Yeah, go, Maverick.
This is Maverick. I host the Fallout Roundtable. Of course, I met Preston at the Good Springs. In Good Springs, we had some great conversations. It's not really a question, you know.
Just wanted to chime in. Yeah, you were there too. That's awesome.
That was great.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I was there.
Very cool.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Maverick. Andrew,
yes, Maverick was awesome.
Andrew's got a question.
Hey, y'all. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah, man.
Cool. Preston, I love True Vault Escapades. Super cool podcast. How'd you get the idea for it? I'd love to hear a little about that.
It was all kind of like a weird segue. So Fallout introduced me to the media of old. So like the music obviously is a huge part of Fallout, but it was also Herbert Daring Dashwood from Fallout 3, my first Fallout, which was just these tiny radio plays. And then I started to listen to actual radio plays. I listened to one called Nick Carter, Master Detective. It ran for a very long time, but people forgot about it. I listened to it religiously, and then I one day listened in health class all the way back in high school, a 40s radio station that played a song, which I own the record of, and it reminded me of a radio intro, like a radio intro to a radio show. It was just so big band era, you know, and I was like, I gotta make a Fallout show. And that's how it started. So I used things like Silver Shroud, Nick Carter, Dragnet, etc. to just culminate this one show. And it was a brainchild in 2014, and it saw its first premiere in 2016. And so next year, 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool, congrats.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, you do a great job channeling all the, you know, those vintage vibes into the show. So very, very cool stuff.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we got to keep it moving. Preston, any final thoughts?
Oh, yes. I met Laura Kane, the voice of Trudy and Red Lucy from Fallout New Vegas. Nice. And I am not being paid, but she has this book. I haven't read a book in quite a bit. And I got it signed from her. It's called Twin Lakes. That's also a big highlight of the year, picking up a book after God knows how many years. And it's a sci-fi murder mystery, kind of a Stranger Things aspect. Highly recommend that.
Very cool. That's repeat the name again. So people...
It's called Twin Lakes. It's Twin her Lakes. First of a chronological series, I think. And it's really good.
Very cool. Very cool. Ben, did you want to chime in? I saw your hand.
Just with the, because this was the Good Springs one, not the fan. Was this the fan
this
committee event that they
yeah,
did?
This was
yes.
the,
this is the second one.
Yeah, yes. Good Springs okay. fan celebration.
Right. Okay. Yeah, this is the
because I know
Las Vegas
they
one.
Just announced the
West Virginia, right?
West Virginia one,
yeah.
which is near my neck of the woods. And I was like,
Yep. Yep.
I could actually drive to this one.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be two a year. There's going to be one in Las Vegas and then one in West Virginia. So. You can kind of, depending on which one you're closer to, you can kind of pick your trip. So very cool. Well, thanks, Preston.
No problem.
All right. Who would like to go next? I see Sam. Sam's hand.
Hey. So, yeah, we've been talking a lot about real space stuff, and I'm going to take it back into like super nerdydom. So
do it. Knock it out. Let's do it.
I've been spending a lot of time inside, as one does when you become a parent. I became a father this year, but that allowed me to try out some new video games. And I saw this one game that kind of looked cool, but I typically stay away from dark fantasy RPGs. Like, if it's too dark, if it's too horrific, it's just not really my cup of tea. That kind of pushed me away from, like, Elden Ring. But Tainted Grail, The Fall of Avalon, mm-hmm. is incredible.
That I've heard a lot about it, and I've almost picked it up. It is very much an Elder Scrolls like, I think you could probably say, right?
Definitely.
I tried the demo, but that's as far as I got.
It pulls a lot of lore from Eastern European folklore. So, like, if you liked The Witcher, you will probably like The Fall of Avalon.
Mm-hmm.
It's also it's the whole premise is like a dark retelling of Arthurian legends, like
yeah.
King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table.
That's right? Avalon, right? That's
yeah,
the piece
Avalon,
of it.
Yeah. And for me, I think King Arthur is cool, but if I'm just being honest, I don't know anything at all about okay. Arthurian legends.
Right.
I just like the vibe and the aesthetic is cool. So I went into that knowing nothing. And even so, it's a great game because, not only does it reward the kind of exploration that will have you looking behind every staircase, every nook and cranny, where it's not just cool loot and unique items with unique art with those items that you'll find, but it's really hilarious quests as well.
Mm.
Like, for example, I just did this quest yesterday where I'm walking through a town and this lady comes up and approaches me and asks me to help her find her husband. I'm like, okay, this sounds like a run-of-the-mill quest, right?
Yeah.
But it's not, because apparently she had been feeling like her husband was drifting out of love with her.
Mm.
And so she had heard tales of a witch in the fields and that she'd have to go meet that witch at midnight and that the witch would always grant one wish. So she told the witch that she wished her husband would be happy with her again.
Okay.
And the witch gave her a potion, and the potion turned him into a pig.
This is straight out of like Grimm's fairy tales, like the original yes. ones or something. Yeah.
So he becomes a pig, and the witch's justification when you meet her is that, well, he's as happy as a pig in mud.
There you go. He's happy again. I did it.
And you can talk to him, which is hilarious because he's like doing these pig grunts in mm-hmm. like the voice actor is doing pig grunts in between the lines, and it's so well done.
And he still talks even though he's a pig. That's
a
great.
Well, the witch will like cast a spell basically
oh, okay.
so you can converse with him
right.
because it turns out he went to go live with the witch
uh-huh.
and he's happy there. And he's actually
right.
happier. He's happier as a pig. He does not want you to turn him back.
Uh-huh.
So it becomes, is it even ethical to turn this guy back into a human against his will?
Right, right. It's also very, you're right, it's very witchery. There's a lot of quests in Witcher games that are kind of like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's multiple branching ways that quest can end. Ultimately, the quest doesn't really matter. You can skip over it. But
mm-hmm.
effectively, if you want to be chaotic, you can tell the witch that I want them to be together again, and the witch will say, okay, fine, well, just convince the wife to wear this bracelet, and she'll become a pig too.
Right. So, nothing
so
ever goes back
together.
The way you expect it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah, then you have to deceive her. But anyway, yeah, it's a great game. Very much enjoying it. I saw you had it on your wish list, Tom.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Definitely suggest it.
I tried the demo a while ago. It released. It was still kind of in, I mean, it was an official release, but I heard that it was still a little buggy. And by the third act, the game kind of needs a little bit more work. And so I've been holding off because my thing is if I buy it, I will play through the parts that I can play through now, and then they will update it. And then I won't go back and play the updated stuff because I'll be on to whatever the next thing is. So I'm kind of just waiting for the right moment to jump in. But I know that they announced some other big updates, I think just like the last week or two. So it might be about time.
Yeah, they just put out a free DLC yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. And so it might be time to jump in for me. But I saw Wasteland Ronin had a question for you. What do you want to know?
Yeah, so who inherits the property after they've become a pig? Because isn't it technically they're out of their, like, you know, ownership of the land. So if they both become pigs, then it's just a free property. That's so
true. Yeah, that it's funny you should bring that up because there's a different quest in which you can basically arrange things so that you have a family leave and then you just take their home. Mm. Like, nice. So you can play it like that if you want.
That's how I got my home.
Squatters' rights.
I'm kidding. I didn't actually get my home that way. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, a little bit of old school, like Morrowind's imminent domain action.
Yeah. I've heard there's a lot of influence from, and it does feel like the kind of game that's a little bit more old school Bethesda, but also, you know, a little bit Witcher, a little bit other stuff. Any other questions for Sam? Anybody else have any questions about this or has tried it?
So for Sam, this is Crown, by the way, from the 10th Divine podcast. And for Sam, my question is, would you recommend becoming a parent?
It's so funny because when I was reading the topic, right, like of what's something that you've done or happened to you and you've enjoyed, I was like, oh, well, you know, I got to talk about having, you know, a child, like my first child. And then I read the next part, which was, and something that you'd recommend for others to do. So I don't know. That's a yes and a no.
Yeah.
Only do it if you're ready. If you're absolutely ready, because even if you're 150% ready, there's going to be moments after you have that child where you're like, I don't know if I was ready.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is ever ready. And
no,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As a father of four with like a 10-year age gap in some of that space.
Oof.
Yeah. You're never really ready.
Nope.
There's always a curveball.
Nope.
But
yeah, I think
there's
it's the
lots of rewards from it
single most life-changing event. Like, I've lost jobs, I've lost family members, I've gained things, I've gotten married, I've, you know, had kids. I think having a child is about the most life-changing
Definitely.
Thing you can possibly
do. Without hyperbole, the day my son was born, the moment he was born, happiest moment of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
and some of that stuff. Yeah. It will never compare. And then you'll see old pictures pop up on your phone or whatever. And you'd be like, oh, my God, I can't believe it's been so long. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
This isn't just a game. It's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Well, Sam, any last thoughts or anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I saw Tainted Grail Fall of Avalon on sale for like, I want to say 40% off or something like that on Steam. So I think it's only $20 right now, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, go try it out. If you're curious about it, if you like first person open world RPGs, just go try it out. I think you'll very much enjoy it.
Awesome. Yeah, maybe I'll have to pick it up for the holidays.
I may not be looking at that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people have been talking about it, and man, there was all sorts of buzz with the Game Awards where, like, I don't know if you guys watch certain subreddits, but like the Elder Scrolls subreddits were like, are they going to announce that the release date for Elder Scrolls 6? And of course, they got themselves all worked up, and it didn't happen, of course. And so there are a lot of people who are just like ready for another Elder Scrolls game. So
yeah. They'll never announce it.
It's never coming. I think it'll come. I think we're still 2 years off, would be my guess. But Lotus and I did an episode about that recently. But who would like to go next? Who wants to continue our conversation? Crown. Let's pass it off to Crown. Speaking of Elder Scrolls.
It seemed like an appropriate segue, yeah. So my name is Crown Esso. I am the host of the 10th Divine podcast. We just joined the network this year. I just took over the podcast for its second season from its previous hosts. And it is an Elder Scrolls Online and Elder Scrolls General interview-based podcast for content creators and people, you know, streamers and stuff like that. And this year has kind of had a theme of housing mancers, which has been fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we had a couple other people come on the show. And that kind of ties into my recommendation for everybody.
Get a house.
So the...
Okay.
I appreciate that, but no. Along with the podcast, I also just today partook in a live action drama production at my church, which is the first time I've done a drama production since like high school.
Yeah.
And so my overarching theme is, or recommendation, I guess, is if you're looking for something new to do, maybe dial it back and look at what you used to do. Because I used to have a different podcast and it ran its course and I hadn't done podcasting in a while. And it's been really great getting back into the saddle for doing the 10th Divine. And then also this drama production that we threw together in 3 weeks, which was hectic, was also really fun, just like reconnecting with this thing that I used to do in my childhood and early adolescence. And so that would be my recommendation for people, is if you're looking for something new, maybe you just have to look back at what you've done before.
Yeah.
Revive those things.
Yeah, that's a great recommendation. I think that as you get older, that becomes kind of a natural thing to do, but sometimes people don't even think of it as doing it. Coincide with your opinion on this, whatever the better term for that is. You know, for example, a few years ago, I got back into writing and recording my own music, and I did a ton of that through my teens and 20s, and then didn't anymore. You know, I had to get a real job because I didn't get a record deal and all that. But like falling back into something that you enjoyed in your past and rediscovering it is a great thing to do. I mean, the chances are you're still going to enjoy it, right? Like, it's like you liked it before, you're probably going to like it again. And I think that part of this is the, you know, kind of what Sam was talking about. Like, you get married, you grow up, you have kids, you get a job, other things become responsibilities. And then we just kind of retreat into the easy stuff. And we sit on a couch in the evenings and we watch a show, or we play the same game that we've played for, you know, the last 10 years because it's comfortable. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it also doesn't bring you that same kind of like discovery of yourself, maybe. Do you think maybe?
Yeah.
Is that a good way to say it? Agree. Yeah. So here, let's open it up. Anybody have questions for Crown and getting back into that kind of, you know, so this was like a stage play thing you were doing?
Yeah, it was, we did our own interpretation of the three wise men.
Right. For the Christmas
three wise
stuff.
Guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, it was great in like just every aspect of it. And like, I barely got the mascara off my face before we recorded, and it maybe scratched my eye trying to.
Oh, but gosh.
It
was great. Yeah. 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 Stage makeup and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody have questions or any other similar experiences of getting back into like acting and that kind of sort of thing? Nobody has any questions.
Brown, what was your favorite production that you've ever done or participated in?
I think it's actually going to be this one. Like, we had some pretty cool setups in drama class and stuff in high school, but the fact that we slapped this together in 3 weeks with like full microphones and everything, it was so cool. And also I got to share this with my kids, so they got to see me doing this.
Yeah.
My oldest got to be a stagehand today.
Oh, that's fun.
And doing our scene changes and stuff for us. And he rocked it. He got to practice one run through last night, and then we went live with it today. And he absolutely just killed it. So that was awesome to see too.
Nice. Nice. Well, congratulations. That sounds like a blast.
It was.
All right. Any last thoughts, Crown?
No, just, you know, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody. And you know, enjoy the show.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Who would like to go next? We've got a few people left. Let's see. We've got Maverick and Wasteland Ronin and Andrew.
I guess I'll go next.
Yeah, Maverick, go ahead.
Okay, so hello, guys. My name is Maverick Stone. My real name is Jared Bush. I host the Fallout Roundtable with three other people, maybe four.
You know how this stuff goes.
It's a discussion-based podcast.
You get it. You guys talk about Fallout stuff, and you get together and you come up Fallout with fun stuff. Topics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was something you experienced this year that you absolutely loved and you think other people should give a shot?
Actually, I started watching Formula One racing.
Oh, I have a friend from a job I used to have who got into that and then even said, hey, I can give you my login so you can log. It's expensive to be able to watch it here in the States.
No, it is expensive.
Yeah.
I have a F1 TV.
Right. But it was the same sort of thing, right? Like, he got super into it and was like, okay, you need to enjoy this too. So is that what happened to you? You were just like, oh man.
Exactly what happened.
That's amazing.
So the F1 movie came out in summer, and that's when I'm like, I'm dragging my sister along with me on this fun ride, and she's finally getting into this. So I have woken up at 4 a.m. Eastern to watch a Grand Prix.
Yeah, because it's like the middle of the night.
The other side of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would recommend it to everybody. Yeah, some of these races may be a little dull, but that's just how the track is. Okay.
Right. Well, I've heard that a lot of the excitement is in the understanding of how the different drivers and teams have to jockey for position between races. And then there's also the technology that goes into the cars and then the self-imposed limitations based because of like the way that they have to like, everybody has to meet a certain standard, but they can't go above a certain amount of spending or any of that kind of stuff. I don't know all the intricacies, but I know that's...
Yes, and I'm not going to bore you with them either.
Yeah, but is that part of the fun of it? Is that the stuff?
It's so many, especially... So next season, they just ended their season in Abu Dhabi 2 weeks ago. So next year, they're rolling out a new set of FAA regulations where it'll change everything completely.
Yeah.
With the car is supposed to be smaller. You know, like I said, I'm not going to bore you with the intricacies since there's so many.
But that's the draw, right? Like that's getting into the minutiae of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like this season, it was a three-way battle for the driver's championship all the way to the end. Like in Las Vegas Grand Prix happened the week after the Fallout New Vegas celebration. My hotel was between turns 4 and 5.
Oh, wow.
On the track. I have a ton of pictures.
So you got to see it in person?
I got to see the track. I didn't.
Oh, you got to see the track. Race. Okay, it wasn't at the event. Wasn't there also? Okay, got it.
The event was not there. It was the week after. So I watched it on TV, and I'm pointing out to my family. That's like, there's our hotel as they're going around the corner.
Yeah,
there it is again. I have pictures right there.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I used to work in a like high rise building in a downtown area. And the year that I was working there, they had a race. It wasn't F1, but it was a street race where they closed down the downtown roads. But those drivers were still going like 80, 90 miles an hour on roads that you're supposed to drive 25 or 30. And we got to stand outside the fences and the cars would come directly at us and then turn like 90 degrees, like brake and turn like 4 feet away from us on the other side of the fence. And it was ridiculous. It was amazing. I think Andrew has a question. Andrew, what do you want to know?
Yeah, I was going to add, I've also started watching. I only have time to catch the highlights of F1, but it's so cool. And maybe Maverick, you'll know the answer to this. But one question I've had is with the tracks, like, are they there all the time or are they actually closing down streets and roads in some of these places? And like, I'm just so fascinated how they create the tracks, how this works.
I think it's some of both, right? Is that right, Maverick?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, some of them like Las Vegas, for example, is a street course. So yeah, they'll set up the course like weeks ahead, but they won't shut down any of the roads until like the week of the race.
Right. And then they put up a bunch of like temporary fences and barricades and then they pull them all back off. Yeah.
It'll take weeks after the fact. Traffic was horrible while we were there trying to get to Good Springs.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it was so much fun.
Bro. Yeah.
Is it so loud? Like if you just live in the area of a track.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. When those cars are driving by, absolutely yes.
I'm assuming Austin, Austin, Texas is where Circuit of the Americas is. The United States Grand Prix is there. That's a dedicated track.
Right. When I worked in the office building, they were having the race out. They're seriously one block away from my building. I was up on like the 24th floor or something, but we could just hear the like the whole time. It's like, and then you go down there and it's just like a whole thing. Yeah, absolutely. Jeremy, do you have a question?
I have input for this.
Okay, cool.
So I'm going to dox myself a little, but it's a big city. I live in the city of Indianapolis. My grandparents live here too. They live.
Are they known for like driving or race cars in Indianapolis? That sounds a little familiar. Indianapolis?
If you ever watched the movie about the snail that inhales nitrous oxide and just becomes a race car.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
It's called Turbo. That's actually based in Indianapolis. So,
Indianapolis. sounds familiar.
We, for those who don't know, the Indy 500 is
here. Right.
IndyCar, the IndyCar series and everything like that. We have a NASCAR race, the Brickyard 400. but my grandparents live less than 10 miles away from the track. You can hear the cars, and it's just a constant drone during race day and all of the days leading up to it because those cars are so loud.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. So, a good reason to get into cars to blow out your hearing. Andrew, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I thought Jeremy was going to say my grandparents were the inspiration for the snails that inhaled.
That's a whole nother story
Not
for another
quite.
Day.
They're a little faster.
Yeah, I feel like that's inspiration for characters for your D&D campaign.
Oh! Thank you, Tom.
There you go. No problem. All right. Well, Maverick, any final thoughts?
So for people that can't see, I am wearing a Mercedes AMG Patronus F1 shirt. I would like to say, if you are going to go into this, be sure to have self-control when you're buying the merchandise. It is expensive.
Uh-huh.
Very expensive.
Sounds like an easy way to blow a lot of money. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I have blown almost $1,200 already.
Wow.
A lot of money.
Well, you're a super fan. This is now your thing. Maybe that's the next podcast you start. It's like an F1 podcast.
I've thought about it.
You're talking to people who, make podcasts for nerdy things.
Yeah,
ask Ben how much money he's put into costumes for Ren Fairs.
Yeah. But besides that, no. Actually, if you can't make all the races or like watch them, don't worry about it. There's a ton of stuff on YouTube. Go through their YouTube channel and everything.
Cool. Good tips.
It's a ton of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds really cool to get deep into. So thanks for sharing that. All right, Andrew, I think you were hands up on the next. Do you want to go next?
Sure.
Yeah, introduce yourself. This is your first time here. People may not know who you are.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Andrew, host of the Intergalactic Heretic Prophet podcast and Ghost of Tsushima Yotei podcast as well. Yeah, I'll just say one thing as background. So I also became a parent about 3 years ago, and in the midst of parenthood, I didn't have much time for much else, and I was just finding myself a little disconnected. I told all this to Tom when we first talked. I was finding myself a little disconnected just from, like, my childhood growing up interests, Mass Effect, Fallout, music, all these things. So I started looking up podcasts. I found the Mass Effect Lorecast, found Fallout Lorecast, found D&D, I found all these things. And so for the last like 2-3 years, I've just been listening to all these podcasts, and it really did just like return me like home, just like reconnected me with my center, my interests and everything. And I feel like everybody really needs that at some point in life, especially if you're going through parenthood. Like a lot of people here know that. So it's super crazy to now be sitting here amongst all of you as one of the chosen few.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you chose yourself. I would give yourself credit too. Like it's one thing to listen to a bunch of creators and go, one day it'd be really cool to do something like that. It's another to actually like take the step and to start doing things, because you don't know what you're capable of until you actually give it a shot.
Yeah. So that in itself has also been crazy to just like launch a couple shows. I've never podcasted before. So that's been really cool, really awesome. Thanks to everyone who inspired me to do this. And I'll dive into the prompt here. The thing I would recommend from this year for everyone here and all the listeners is old video games. And I'll list off a couple. So I played Ghost of Yote, but immediately following that, I found this 2002 Star Wars game called The Clone Wars. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Star Wars, The Clone Wars.
Yeah, I remember that.
I've never heard of this game.
Yep.
And I'm like a huge Star Wars person. I could not believe this. I found it for like $2 on the PlayStation Store. So I was like, you know what? Let me just try this. This game was awesome.
It's like shooters and you're soldiers. You're in the clone army, right?
It's kind of like a tank game for the most part. There's some like on foot combat that is honestly like horrible and breaks the game.
Okay.
But it's also like hilariously lovable for PlayStation 2, and they just like remade it for PS5. So here's what was really cool about this. I went straight from Ghost of Yote to this. Then I found Far Cry Primal, which was in 2016,
mm-hmm.
which again, that's like 9 years ago, which 2016 is now kind of an old game.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was realizing this, like, what quantifies an old game? And actually, I got the idea to launch a podcast because I played The Last of Us again this year for my first time.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2013.
Wow.
That's also kind of an old game at
yeah.
that point. So yeah, I was just, and so Far Cry Primal was awesome. Like, I could not, I've never even played a Far Cry game before.
Oh, wow.
But it's set in 10,000 BC, like right as the Neolithic Revolution is happening, the discovery of farming, creation of tools, all these things. So just a super cool setting. And between like this 2002 Star Wars game, you know, Far Cry Primal, I just was like, there's so many cool old gems out there
mm-hmm.
found. And yeah, that's my recommendation for everyone.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Games stuff you come across.
Yeah, I also discovered old games again because I launched the Retro Recall show that I've been doing now for a little while and have been playing through like really old stuff. We're talking like NES games from like 1988 and stuff like that. And man, is it like some of these games I haven't played since I was a kid and, you know, and I'm old. So it's been like 3+ decades since I played some of them, but like going back and like that nostalgia is real, man. Like both trying stuff I haven't played before, like you were mentioning, but also going back and trying stuff that I like did play. And I'm like, I don't really remember this whole thing very well. And then being surprised by it. It's a thing for sure. For sure. Yeah. So let's open this up. Anybody have any questions for Andrew? Ben?
Do you like Star Wars games? If you haven't played KOTOR, play KOTOR.
Already done, my friend. Thank you.
Good, good.
Yeah, and there's a new Old Republic. There's a new one coming out.
By Casey Hudson, who did the first in the Mass Effect series and confirmed, shockingly, it's going to come out before 2030. Because, end quote, he's getting too old.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So
yeah.
He says it's going to be out in the next 4 years, which is great.
Yeah, that is great. That is great. All right, any other questions for Andrew? Jeremy?
Would you consider Minecraft an old game if you're considering Last of Us an old game? Minecraft came out in 2011, but it keeps getting updated with bigger and bigger updates.
Yes.
Skyrim.
Yes.
Skyrim hasn't gotten an update. It just keeps getting remastered.
I don't know, man. I update mine with mods all the time. But yeah, I think there's something about... If you look at statistics on video games, this is something I like to... I almost enjoy news and information about games as much as I enjoy actually playing them. But one of the things you'll notice is that the hits from like a decade ago just keep getting played, which is part of why you combine that with the fact that there were like 19,000 games released on Steam this year. There's just so many new games and so many of these classics are still great that we're at this point where it's like, do we really need to play a new game? Not always. Like, a lot of us are just happy to going back to the old stuff or rediscovering, like Andrew, like you mentioned, like rediscovering stuff that we didn't play initially that were great games. Then we're just like, you know, I just never gave it a shot, but it's still good. I think it's kind of like the movie industry, right? Like you look back at like the old black and white pre-talkie films and they're interesting to watch, but they don't really scratch the same itch as like a real blockbuster movie would, right? But once you get to like the 40s and 50s, all of a sudden it's like, okay, no, these actually still hold up, especially the really good ones. And then from that point on, a good movie is a good movie. It doesn't really matter when it was made. And I feel like we're entering that phase of video games. We're just lagging behind because games are a newer genre, I guess, or newer platform than movies are, right? Andrew, do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And one of the things that, like, was just a really cool realization from this is, like, how much some core mechanics are what make games fun. And, like, both Far Cry Primal and this Star Wars The Clone Wars game would crash out. Like, the game would just crash. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's something that doesn't really happen on PS5 anymore. But, yeah, you know, it did on games back in the day. But despite that, like, it was still so fun. And even, like, the new EA Star Wars Battlefront 2, I would argue there's things that this 2002 Star Wars game has that the new Battlefront does not that made it more fun and more compelling for me to play, which is just, like, really wild to consider, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Maverick?
Yes, I'd like to say the older Star Wars Battlefront 2 is better than the new Star Wars Battlefront 2. I still play it all the time. It's on my Xbox. I'm probably going to play it after we're done here.
He's inspired again. Jump back in.
Yeah. 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 Since my Fallout 76 isn't working right now for some dumb reason.
Bummer.
But yeah, sad with the new updates coming out. But yeah, anyway, yeah. Yeah. I heard Star Wars Battlefront and I'm like, I have to take this moment and say the old Star Wars Battlefront 2 is better than the new one.
Yeah, I think well, a lot of us do shows about games or game series that have been around for a long time. And I have a strong feeling that is the majority of our audiences would probably agree that there are certain games that they go back to and they're like, you know what, nothing beats this still, you know? And I can look at each of you.
Our audiences have been around a long time.
Yeah, maybe. Sergio, what were you saying?
I'm saying this is my emotional support of Oblivion.
Yeah. So, Andrew, any final thoughts on this one?
I'll just say, just give old games a chance, y'all. They're fun. You never know what you might find.
Yeah.
I have a question for Andrew.
Sure.
What's the next old game on your radar? What's the next thing you're going to aim for?
Actually, like two nights ago, I started the 1997 Turok, like,
Final
One.
Oh, man.
And, yeah. And I only ever played the, like, 2009 Turok on Xbox 360 when I was a kid, and that game was awesome. So again, I just saw it for $2 on the PlayStation 4. I was like, all right, I'll try this out.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, like, it's slow. There's things about it where, like, sometimes they don't always age well, but I still find it, like, so fun to play and to see, like, this is where Turok started. And there's obviously a new Turok game that is, like, maybe releasing in 2026. So just, like, really cool to get that piece of history as well and ground yourself in the context of, like, this is the whole franchise that started as, like, an arcade type of game and then grew over the course. And now we get to live in 2026 with, like, you know, PS5 and get the coolest graphics. And it's just cool to, like, see that journey.
Yeah, that journey from, you know, Turok being all of 16 polygons fighting dinosaurs into somebody who actually looks like a real person. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Those games
are
great.
That's all I got. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for chiming in with all of that. I think we're down to me and Wasteland Ronin, I think, are the last two. Ronin?
Yeah, I can jump in here.
Yeah, jump in.
So I'm Wasteland Ronin. I run the Metal Gear Lorecast and might have heard me on the Fallout patron chats a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I'm going to touch on a little bit of a podcasting and in-person nerd stuff.
Okay.
So this year, I launched my Metal Gear Lorecast, which was pretty sweet to finally get that going. I know that's an old community I'm trying to tap into.
Like many of our shows, it's a series that's been around for a long time. Yeah.
I've been playing that since it was like PS2, so I've been playing that since I was 6. I figured it was a good time to start my own podcast on that, but... the other thing is we started a Fallout RPG style podcast, which I won't dive too much into it because it's not ready for release, but we're working on that in the background. And then coming next year, I'm starting a Battletech Lorecast, if anyone knows what that is. It's also known as Mech Warrior or Battle Droids back in 1984, which Lucasfilm, you know, they had to change the name because Battle Droid was not available. So
droids, yeah.
Yep. So that's coming next year. But for in-person, I recommend, first off, as somebody that has spent way too much in miniature models, if you want to get into D&D or some type of tabletop game, I would inform you to, like, ease into it because it can get expensive real fast. But yeah, D&D, we just started one of those, like an actual in-person game, and that was really cool. And then also this year, I became a demo tester for BattleTech, so that was pretty cool to. That was pretty cool to partake in. It's a voluntary thing, but being one of my favorite games and having over like 300 mechs as miniatures, I think it's about time I take bigger part in the game.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's so. You have a similar experience to Sergio, but also the idea that you can sign up as like a tester for things or to help with projects for, you know, games and software and things like that is a very real thing. There are a lot of modding teams that are looking for people to just test out what they're doing or to learn some basic skills in order to get into stuff. But there's also a lot of indie developers that would love just the help. And if you love a thing and want to support it, that's absolutely an avenue for you, for sure. Anybody have any questions for Wasteland Ronin? Jeremy?
So regarding the upcoming BattleTech lorecast, how deep into that lore are you going to get?
I'm going to go until there's not a single thing left to cover.
All of it.
I love that.
From the smallest grain of sand to the Orca mech. And for the people that don't know what the Orca mech is, it is a 200-ton battle mech that is just massive. So everything from the grain of sand on one planet all the way to the biggest mech in the entire... I think it's the biggest mech in the entire game.
Wow. Yeah. Cool.
And for those who don't know, BattleTech has like factions and a bunch of other stuff. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've seen a lot of different factions, all the different like intergalactic maps and stuff like that. And it's almost the lore, I believe, is just a little smaller than Warhammer.
Than 40K.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah. Too bad we don't have the 40K guys on right now. I'm sure they would have been here if they could have. But they could chime in about that. But yeah, that sounds really cool. And I remember playing those games a long time ago, like, and all the different type models of the, you know, the mechs and
the
different
mechs.
Paint you could put on them and like different squads and all that stuff. It's very cool.
My collection now, it's a 6-foot shelf and I need more room for models because I'm running out of room.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, lore wise, BattleTech is almost the scale of like 40K itself. There's just so much lore. And it spans over a couple thousand years, and it's been out since like 1984.
Yeah.
So there, I mean, it's not the same size as 40K, but I would say it's like the next step down is the depth, you know, in depth of amount of lore that goes into it.
Yeah, that's very cool. Very, very cool.
I'm so ready for this, Ronan.
Jeremy's there with you. Maybe you guys should talk about doing a lore show together or something. Do what you want, but just making suggestions if that's something that would be helpful. All right. Any other questions for Wasteland Ronin? Any other thoughts or questions? Nope. It looks like we're getting close to the end. Wasteland, thanks for sharing that. Any other final thoughts?
No, that's about it. I don't think I have any other podcast I'm going to be starting, but who knows? We'll see.
It's always tempting, right?
Yeah. I am going to start porting it over to YouTube because I'd love to start making videos for Metal Gear and then BattleTech. Definitely BattleTech because there's a lot of stuff that... The names are definitely going to get confusing. So being able to see a visual aid would be way more helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck with all of that. That's awesome. All right. I guess I'm wrapping this up. So I was going to say the Oblivion remaster came out earlier this year, back in like March. And that was going to be my, like, you got to go back and play it. And so my Elder Scrolls Lorecast friends are going to be like, yeah, go back and play that. I'm on the theme of real world stuff, real life stuff, meet space stuff, and also on the theme of being a parent. My son is 15 this year, and I don't know, 5-6 years ago, bought an electric drum set. I used to play in bands. I can play guitar and bass. I can drum okay. You know, I do a variety of different things. And so I got him started on that, like in elementary school, and he was, you know, picking up drums pretty quick. And then a year ago, he got into playing bass. He wanted to play bass guitar. So he got a bass guitar. And then this year, he's been wanting to play. He has a school band, not just like a school jazz band or orchestra, but like an actual like rock band, a school rock band. And he was like, you know, I want to play in the band, but they already have a bass player and they already have a drummer. And I'm like, okay, well, what do they need? And he's like, well, a guitar player. And if I play guitar, I could probably play with them next year, but I have to learn it. And his birthday's in June. And I was like, you should get a guitar. And he's like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do guitar. And I was like, I started on guitar and then I learned other stuff. You're coming from the other direction, but I would highly recommend it. The more, you know, anybody who's a musician knows, the more instruments you pick up, the more that adds to your versatility, your understanding of music, all of those things. And so he did. He was like, okay, I'll ask for a guitar for my birthday. So splurged a little bit, got him, I mean, a beginner guitar, but in a little bit nicer amp, because, you know, it's nice to have something that you can trust. And he took to it. And like, even today, he had the last week, his band is putting together a Christmas show at the school, but they had to cancel one of their practices last week because the teacher couldn't be there. And he's like, Dad, can I have the kids over on like Sunday to practice? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's set it up. And we've got like in our front room, I've got the drum set and I've got guitars and amps and things. And I'm like, we'll set up the room. I don't have a microphone for a singer, but we'll buy one. We'll set it up for you. And like, totally got to be like the cool dad who was like, you know, helping out the kids with the rock band and answering questions. They're like, what order should we put the songs in? And like, what should I do about this with stage presence? And answering all these questions that I've spent so many years and so many hundreds of shows, like refining all of that knowledge and then being like, hey guys, this is the stuff that actually matters. Focus on this. And then by the end of it, they were like, oh, we're so glad we got to come over. And like, this has been so helpful and all of that stuff. So it's just so cool to be like, you know, making connections and like just not just my son, but like his friends and also the school and the community that's there. And then the other parent shows up who happens to be one of the teachers, and she's the, you know, the mom of the girl who's the singer in the band, and like making all of those like real world connections, but also taking a bunch of these teenage kids who are trying to play rock music in 2025, which is like weird and vintage and old, and be like, hey guys, this can still be cool. Clearly you're still into like this kind of music. Here's how you make it your own thing, and like, take it, run with it. This is art, you know? And it feels kind of similar to giving advice to people starting a podcast. Cause as a podcast content creator, you're creating your own art. You're doing it your own way, but there's elements that are similar, you know? And so I guess my recommendation would be, get involved. Like if you're a parent, get a little bit more involved, or going on Crown's thing, go back to the things you enjoyed and like use those. And, you know, maybe your kids aren't in the same things you are, but maybe they will be if you just give them a little bit of an opportunity to see why that's fun and how that's cool. And like Crown, like you said, like having your kid on stage, helping do the thing with you, you know, like these are the things that really, really connect everybody and make, I don't know, make it feel worth it, you know? So yeah, teenagers, Sam, say what you just put in chat.
So I just put in this Zoom chat here. Teenagers starting a rock band in 2025 is ironically very punk.
Right? How freaking cool is that? And here's one of the other lessons I gave them, because they were talking about like how they want to dress and what their persona of their band is and that kind of thing. And one of my recommendations was, you know, I was in high school in the 90s. Grunge was a thing. Grunge and alternative rock became a thing because people were tired of the inauthenticity of like 1980s pop and rock and metal and all of that. And all of a sudden freaking Kurt Cobain gets on stage with his torn jeans and his flannel because it's just what he wore that day. And he's the most authentic dude on the planet. And I'm like, what does the world need now more than authenticity? In a world full of AI slop and all sorts of garbage and the internet, what's the best thing you can possibly do when you get on stage? And I was like, just be authentic and own it. And even if you mess up, own it. And just play your hearts out and love what you do. And that's how you build a fan base. That's how you build an audience. And they were like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Like, it just like clicked. So yeah, very, very cool stuff. Ronan, did you have a question?
Yeah, if they're not called Nirvana, we're going to have to fix that.
Yeah, well, they're not, yeah, they're not using that name, but yeah. Sergio?
Yeah, I was going to say, growing up sort of with the ADHD / autistic brain / hyper fixated brain.
I think that's like all of us, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so like, you know, I loved the things that I loved. Like I knew all the facts about every G.I. Joe character. I, you know, knew like way more about, you know, Thundercats than anyone probably should have. And so I always thought like, hey, like when I become a parent, I'm going to be the coolest freaking parent, because all the dumb stuff that they're going to be into, like, I probably won't be into it, but I'll understand. And if they say like, oh, I need this Chase variant of this figure out, like, I know exactly what that means. Like, some other normie parent will be like, oh, you like Spider-Man. Here's a Spider-Man act. Like, no, they're right. looking for the black symbiote variant from Spider-Man 3.
Right.
That's what they want. And so, and I was right. Like, all the crazy stuff that my kids are into nowadays, I can, like, I hear it and I'm like, it doesn't make any sense to me, but I understand the information enough.
You get the why.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I get the why, not right. the, like, you know,
the what,
you know,
the what, that's, what. Yeah, that comes out of the details. And once you dive enough deep in there, you get the what, but you understand the why, the,
right.
why they care about the what.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's been awesome.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Ben? What's up, Ben's hand?
Yeah. I was just going to comment, like, with, I mean, your son learning guitar, going from bass and drums, just commenting on that, like, get out of your comfort zone. Try something that you never thought you would, you know, enjoy, but you turn out to enjoy. I did that last year when I got into acting and doing voice acting, like, or even just podcasting. Like,
yeah.
do something outside of your comfort zone and grow with it, and you will see how much joy it brings to your life.
Right. Yeah. You don't really grow unless you're uncomfortable. I think it's one of those, like, timeless things, right? Like, you got to get a little uncomfortable to grow. Yeah. Yeah. Maverick, did you want to chime in?
Yeah. I'd also like to comment. So I am on the spectrum. I have been diagnosed and everything. So I had to have my parents help me a lot when I was younger, pushing me out of my comfort zone, which in turn, in high school with football, I also play the bass,
mm-hmm.
But I play the upright bass, the big upright bass.
Yeah.
I actually have.
Yeah, I've tried those before, it's fun.
This,
yeah,
yeah. I played that. I wore the suit and tie orchestra. I know a lot about that. So I'm like, that's right up my alley too. Holy
yeah, you
crap.
You value that's... the fact that your parents pushed you into things that you otherwise
yeah,
wouldn't have
exactly.
tried.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So there are some things that I'm like, no, I'm never trying that. But in other ways, you know, like football,
sure,
a lot of sports. I was in weightlifting for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and just some of that just went away as I grew older. Did coping mechanisms, you know.
Sure. I mean, our interests change, but, like, it's that experience of having done the thing that you kind of carry with you, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, I just was like, yeah, people should play more bass, okay? Learn to have a strong back to carry that instrument wherever you go.
Right. And join a swing jazz trio or an orchestra. Like,
yes,
why not?
Exactly.
Or a rockabilly band. Sure. Why
yes,
not, right?
I have played in a college symphony orchestra one time as the only bass there because the other one was sick. That was fun, but at the same time, it was scary.
Yeah, but you grow because of it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that's, like, to kind of wrap up my stuff, try something new, but also, if you are a parent, don't be afraid to just suggest stuff. And your kids aren't always going to jump on it. In fact, they might look at you super skeptically and tell you you're an idiot, because why would I ever want to do that? But if you put enough stuff out there, it's like a platter of food at a party, right? You put enough stuff out on the table and somebody might go, oh, I haven't tried one of those before. And they'll just pick it up, you know, just make them aware that you will support them and that, you know, you're there to help out. In fact, right before we started the show, we were coming home. We went out and got dinner. We were coming home and playing songs in the car. And there's a song on my son's playlist that is a band that I've loved in the past. And we got home and he pulls out his guitar and he starts trying to figure out the riff. And I was like, hey, man, this is how it goes. I just sat down and showed it to him.
I mean, that's how it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You listen, you just like, that sounds cool. How do you play that?
Right. He started playing it and he's like, I think it's over here. Is this the first note? And I'm like, yeah, here, it works like this. And then I was like, okay, let's plug it in and turn it up, because that's when you really get the feel for, like, the way the distortion plays with the drop D tuning or whatever, you know. And he's like, okay, cool. You know, so yeah. So there you go. Those are our tips. And everybody, thank you so much for taking the time to get together, and happy holidays to everyone. Let's go back through and remind people about your name, what shows you're on, and then one final message to them, and just like one sentence closing message that you would give everybody for their holidays. And I'm going to go back through on the screen the way everybody's in order. So we'll start with Jeremy. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Jeremy Geyser. I am the DM for Dungeons and Dipshits. I like to play D&D podcast. This is just outros. Like, you can find me on the Discord.
Yeah, everybody knows where they can find everybody. Okay. So just give them the closing message. Just like, what is your final message? It could be like happy holidays. It could be a final tip about something. One thing you want to leave them with.
Go out and do things.
Go do things.
Like, get out of your room.
Yeah.
Quit being a recluse. I've learned that the hard way.
Yep. Good one. Good one, Jeremy. All right, Ben.
Yeah, you can. I'm Brandon, or also known as Ben of Temeria. You can find me on the plethora of shows that I host: Holocron History, Star Wars Canon versus Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Gundam Lorecast, the Wizarding World Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast. As far as final message, I mean, just, you know, do something that you would normally not do, and roll with it.
And roll with it. Yeah, good one, Sergio.
Hey, my name is Sergio, the host of the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast, the co-host of the 616 Files. And to end off 2025, going into 2026, I would implore everyone listening to dare greatly, to try the new thing, even if it means failing. Like, all of my regrets in life, you know, aren't from, I did that thing and I didn't do well. They're all, I didn't even try that thing. Yeah. I wish I had tried the thing.
Right.
So.
Right.
That's what I instill in my kids. Like, try. If you fail, oh well, the sun's still going to rise tomorrow. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, you fail forward. Like, if you fail and nobody saw you, it's like a tree in the forest. Did it fall down?
Exactly.
Who knows? Yeah, man. All right, Preston.
Howdy. I am Preston, or DJ Atomic Wolf, and I am the creator of True Vault Escapades, a Fallout audio drama. And my two cents would be, stop dipping your toe in the pool and just jump in. And that goes with a lot of things.
Especially pools.
Just take the leap. I mean, especially if it's been bugging you for a really long time, that's more than enough of a sign that you need to give it a go. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my little parting message with everyone.
Nice. Every time you say your DJ name, it reminds me of, and I'm DJ Atomica from Burnout Paradise.
Oh man, that's a deep cut.
You guys remember that one?
That game was awesome.
Welcome to Burnout Paradise. Burnout, this is DJ Atomica. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Preston. Sam, closing thoughts.
Yeah. So I think my closing thoughts here are, you might think that you like just what you like in terms of games, and you already have all of your genres of interest down pat. But just give a go to maybe something adjacent to broaden your horizons in that regard, because you might be surprised, like I was with Tainted Grail. Mm-hmm. Tainted Grail was also like their first or maybe only second foray into video games, that publisher or that developer. Yeah. So, you know, didn't have like a big repertoire to back it up, but I've been having a great time with it.
So. Yeah, and I can understand your skepticism because it does have the word taint in the name.
Yes. I've made so many jokes about that on screen, and I don't know where I can take the jokes here, so I'll hold my tongue.
Anyway, thanks, Sam. And he does the Mass Effect Lorecast, if you're wondering.
Yep.
Where I used to, up until about a year ago, I was your co-host on that, and the show's been doing great. Genesis has been doing wonderful on the show, and also, if you want other jokes about taints, I'm sure we made some in some of those earlier episodes.
Yeah, go listen to the Mass Effect Lorecast for more taint lore.
Sam has some of the best quotes. Go to the quote episodes at the end of the year. Those are
great. Oh yeah,
too.
Episode 100.
Yeah, episode 1. Go find that one if you want more goofs. Anyway, so there you go. Thanks, Sam. Crown, what are you leaving everybody with? And also remind them what show you do.
Sorry, I'm trying to follow up behind on that last comment.
Yeah, good here. Luck. Good luck.
My name is Crown Esso. I am the host of the 10th Divine podcast, an interview-based podcast for sharing the community of the Elder Scrolls games. And a quote that's been sitting with me a lot lately, and I think it kind of fits with the general message everybody's been shooting out here at the end, is either you can or you can't. either way, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like whatever you expect is going to be the way it goes. Yeah, if you think you can't, you won't.
Yeah, I don't even know. Somebody had shared it as it was in a game they had been playing recently, but it's someone else. It's a quote from someone else too. But like, it's been really sitting with me for the last little bit, and I feel that really fits into, you know, getting out there, trying new things, and just doing stuff.
Yeah, try some new stuff in 2026. It's a new year. Yeah, man. All right. Well, thanks. Maverick, you got any wise words?
Oh, the wise words of Maverick.
they scrolled them on stones.
Table, we do have an episode like that, along with the taint jokes.
I have a feeling you guys have lots of jokes like that.
Yes, we have a ton of jokes that we can't say here either.
That's fine.
But anyway, my name is Maverick Stone. You can, or just Maverick or Mav, or just don't call me late for dinner.
Got it.
I co-host the Fallout Roundtable podcast with Jaxus and Sassy Lady, who I'd like to, before I give my parting wise words, would like to shout them out. This year has been really tough for me. As a whole, and they've been sort of keeping up the podcast that this year, the last little bit of this year. So I just want to say thank you to those guys, along with Eric, who on here is Silior. He does a lot of voice acting, and he's been doing a lot also. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. Not for the wise words of Maverick.
Yeah, what are your wise words?
My wise words, go touch grass.
Boom. Done. Touch grass.
Touch grass.
As a group. Get together as a group.
Or if you don't have grass, go touch some snow. Just not yellow snow.
There you go. That's also a good tip. Right. It is that time of the year. And
as a Michigander myself, we're in the middle of a snowstorm right now.
Mm.
It's fun.
That sounds great. It's 65 degrees out where I live.
Yes. It is -1.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good. Stay warm out there. Maverick, thank you so much.
No problem.
Wasteland Ronin.
Hello, this is Wasteland Ronin. I'm the host of the Metal Gear Lorecast and soon to be BattleTech Lorecast, which I have not released the official name yet. But I would say take small steps daily to leap over time.
Oh, okay. Man.
And really, we're making anatomy jokes? That's a little below the belt for me.
Nice. Yeah, outside of the anatomy jokes, I feel like we are writing a bunch of really good lines for fortune cookies. Like all of us. Like maybe we should do yearly fortune cookies and put them out there for people to get. I don't know. I don't know how you do that. I'm sure there's probably some like made-to-order fortune cookie company out there somewhere that we could give them all the different things and they could just make them. I don't know.
Last time I asked for fortune cookies, the lady kept saying, and then.
Wait, what?
If you know that movie reference.
No, what is that from?
That was a Dude, Where's My Car reference.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah. Look up on YouTube.
Yeah. I never saw Dude, Where's My Car. I know of the film, but I never did see it.
Yeah, look up and then on YouTube and it'll pop up and you'll be cackling. It's hilarious.
Got it. Well, thanks for joining us, Wasteland. And then Andrew, it's just you and me left.
Hey, y'all. Yeah, I'm Andrew, host of the Intergalactic Heretic Prophet podcast, which is a game that has no release date. So who knows?
It'll be out when it's ready, you know?
Yeah. And Ghost of Tsushima Yotei Gamecast. I'll just say happy holidays to everyone. And chase your passions, you know, find things you're passionate about. And that's how I found Robots Radio. I mean, just, I feel like, you know, in the early years of parenting, it can be just so tiring. At the end of every day, I was just feeling like, man, I'm exhausted. And oftentimes just watching TV, you know, and then just feeling like, am I really like loving this right now? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's how I got led to Robots Radio. Like, what did I love? And for me, that was Mass Effect, Fallout. And all these years later, I'm sitting here with all of you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Crazy. That's awesome. Yeah, it feels good to be a part of something. It feels good to be able to like make a thing rather than consume a thing. I think that's maybe that'll be my, I guess I have to wrap this up. So maybe that'll be my thing is like, if you find yourself regularly for your own entertainment and just kind of, you know, in your spare time because work is stressful and family life is stressful or whatever, if you find yourself constantly consuming things and feeling empty from that, make something. Think about making a thing. Now, maybe that's not a podcast. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm sure there are some people out there who are like, you know what? I'd love to start a podcast. And I would be remiss to not say, hey, come join the Rocket Club. I can help you out. But outside of that, maybe that's not your thing. Maybe your thing is, you know, I want to act in a play. I want to DM a Dungeons and Dragons game. I want to start pickup games of basketball in my neighborhood. Whatever it is, make a thing. Make a team. Make a product. Make art. Get out and like add to the world in a place where there's so much, I don't know, AI garbage and all sorts of inauthenticity. Be a human being and make stuff and share it with other humans and get out there and be with some other people. Ronan, did you have one more thing you want to chime in with?
Yeah. And for those people that, you know, they don't want to make their own podcast, if they don't want to do that or whatever, they can always support their podcast, you know, write into your podcast or even send in a single question, because someone else out there might have the same question you do. And just by that quick little snippet, you could change like the entire way people think about the game, or maybe like, you know, add more information to it. So
yeah,
there's so many ways to support your podcast that you like.
Yeah. And I talk with a number of people. I try to answer people's questions on our Discord all the time. And sometimes I end up responding to people who they will shy away from doing something like a podcast because they'll look at a lot of us who are the hosts for our shows, are the voice for our shows. And they'll assume that they have to do everything else. They're like, but I don't know how to edit. I don't know how to write a show. I don't know how to post it online. I don't know how to the hosting. I don't know how to get advertisers. I don't, like all of these other things. But oftentimes shows are made up of people who specialize in individual things. So maybe you're really good at writing something, but you're not the right person to be the voice and to be talking to the microphone. So team up with somebody, find somebody who helps support that, you know. There's ways of combining your efforts. You don't have to go it alone, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, get to know people and, you know, touch some grass, I guess, is the whole message of our holiday message this year, is go touch some grass, everybody. But we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you, everybody, for being here, for continuing to listen to all of these shows, and for your support of the network, whether that's simply just continuing to be here and listening, sharing the shows with people that you know, or supporting us on Patreon or any of that stuff. And I know we all have some wonderful plans for the next year for more content and things that we are putting together. And we'd love for you to continue to be a part of that. And as always, if you want to get a hold of any of us, if we've said anything tonight that you were like, oh, I want to check that out, or I want to get involved with doing the thing that you mentioned, feel free to jump on the Discord. There's a link in my show notes for my shows. And I know a lot of you guys have links for the Discord. And you can even just Google like Robots Radio Discord. You'll find a link. And then come join us on there. Send us some messages. And otherwise, have a wonderful holiday. Enjoy some time with your friends and family. Touching grass or snow, as long as it's not yellow. And we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Take care. Bye.
Bye, all.
Bye.
Bye, all.
Good morning, everybody.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.